HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.
Okay, so today I'm joined by Tara Dalrymple. Tara is looks after employee engagement for EMEA for Genesis. Tara, you're very welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. Tara, do you want to just say what your role is or what you do and what Genesis does, please?
Sure. So Genesis is a cloud platform for call center software. So as you can imagine, during lockdown, a lot of people had to go start working from home, and Genesis enabled all of these companies to quickly ramp up and allow their customer support service staff to work from home. So we deal with everything from, you know, chat functionality, dealing with calls, as well as employee engagement and using AI predictive decision-making as much as possible. So we're at the front edge of kind of AI and everything around that, which obviously is a very hot topic at the moment. So in order to keep our staff engaged, they have people like myself. There's myself who covers EMEA, but I have counterparts who work around the world as well. So we look after our staff. We provide opportunities, engagement opportunities, or it's events, or it's getting involved with sponsorship for local sporting events that they might be taking part in, heavily involved in local community, as well as national events and community events as well. So wherever we can, we'd like to give back. And this is what our staff want, you know. Gone are the days where you just turn up at work, you do your job and you go home. Now, you know, your staff want you to actually kind of curate after hours events for them and provide wellness opportunities as well as looking after them and their family. So it's changed a lot. I've been in this kind of space, even though employee engagement is a new term, I've been in this space for the last kind of 20 years. And you can see an evolution really in terms of what the demands are from employees. And obviously, if you're not doing it, your competition are. So it's important that we step up. We read a lot of research to make sure that we're ahead of the curve. And our retention rates are really good as a result.
Brilliant. Yeah, you sort of good segue for me. I was going to ask you what's the scope? What does employee engagement entail for Genesis? Where does it start and stop?
Sure. So from the moment that I suppose the recruitment process is ended, you know, the onboarding is starting, I will always reach out to new recruits and just send them a welcome email. We always do a shout out, you know, when they join in our internal kind of communications platform. It's around educating them in terms of what they can get involved in. You know, people, especially in Genesis, are really into giving back, and that's really important to them. You know, from surveys that we have, you know, corporate social responsibility is something that's really important to them. So we just raise awareness around, you know, what that is, volunteering time off, different inclusion groups that they can get involved in, and just generally making them feel at home from the off, because as we know, those first 90 days are super important, and if you don't get that right, you know, the you could potentially lose them. So it's really important that they feel part of the team, whether they are office-based, hybrid, or fully remote. So, you know, as part of the onboarding process, in employee engagement is involved in that, as well as, you know, running events. And people think, oh, you're possibly just the pizza party people. We're not, you know, it goes a lot deeper than that. So we provide kind of consultation, kind of like support services to leaders, to different business units to help them engage their team. And as we know, the workforce is different. It's hybrid. How do you kind of merge and blend those working in the office with those working fully remotely? So, you know, I've written playbooks around this topic, you know, to make sure our leaders know how to engage with their teams. And as well as running events that do include those who are remote. So, you know, it could be an online quiz. It could be doing art classes online. We've done karaoke online. We've done lots of random stuff, as lots of other companies did during lockdown. But, you know, we emulate that now more than ever because, you know, this whole new, it's not really new, it's been here for the last couple of years, but this kind of changing dynamic in what a workforce comprises of is something that everyone's trying to achieve. No one has that answer yet. You know, if anyone does, I'd love to hear it. But it's still, you know, how do we create this synergy between those in the office and those working from home? It's an interesting role. I love it, actually. It's really personable. You get to chat to a lot of people. And you just try and pick up on the vibes of people. You know, feedback is obviously really important. Data is really important to us. It's a very data-driven company anyway. But for us, data is really important in terms of getting the kind of temperature of the staff and making sure that we are hitting all the right areas that they really want to feel supported in and by.
What in your opinion or in your experience, Tara, what makes employees fully engaged? I'm sorry, two-part question. How can organizations sort of be mindful of that as they design like an employee experience?
I think you need to actually, you know, it's like the kind of old adage about, you know, engineers with feature bloat creating things that they think people will want. You actually just have to speak to people. And feedback is really important. There's no point, you know, somebody running an event if no one's going to turn up to it. So, you know, it's around feedback, definitely. But I created when I joined, you know, a sports and social club because, yes, I've been doing this for many years. However, every company is different. You need to understand the culture. You need to know what their passions are and find out what those different niches are, what those different groups are. And I think that sometimes a mistake that is made is that events should always be focused around alcohol, for example. You know, that's a natural go-to. However, you know, I found that especially in tech, you have a lot of introverts. You have a lot of people who are on the spectrum. A lot of people in that scenario don't want a very loud, noisy environment. So it's trying to find these different groups and creating opportunities for them to engage. So in response to that, you know, we set up a Dungeons and Dragons online gaming group. We have done sip and shares where it's not just alcohol, it's coffees and chai lattes and things like that. I think you really have to drill deep into what makes your workforce up and creating opportunities of engagement for them, whether it's online or offline. We do regular employee pulse surveys. So we do an annual survey that's run every January, and each site will be given that data and we drill into that data. And most importantly, and this is where I think sometimes companies do fail, is that they don't actually go back to the team and said, okay, we asked you what you wanted. We now have been told what you would like us to do, and this is what we're going to do as a result. Otherwise, you know, there'll be survey fatigue and people will just come back and say, well, what's the point of asking us to do a survey if you're not going to do anything on it? So I think that's really, really important, actually acting on that feedback. And then, you know, I said we do pulse surveys. So every quarter, again, we do a randomized pulse survey just to get a really good understanding of where the team are, because obviously every quarter is different. Things may happen externally or internally that will change the whole dynamic. So it's really important that you do, yes, create events. People need face-to-face, but you also need that hard data to kind of pivot and make changes where necessary.
And Tara, when you say randomized quarterly, do you mean the questions are randomized or you just have a smaller sample?
The subset, yeah. So the employees, so it's randomized across the team globally. So not everyone is getting that survey. So we have a smaller sample, but it's really important as well, I think, to do it throughout the quarter too.
And when you're running events for employees, do you typically, you mentioned niches there, you mentioned Dungeons and Dragons and Sip and, sorry, I'm not sure what you, Sip and Paint, sorry, okay. do you try to run that as a globally, or do you run it within those niches, or is it just invite everyone and see who turns up?
We have done global events, so we are looking to do kind of like our North America versus Ireland and possibly EMEA in terms of gaming. They're obviously, as you can imagine, you know, there's quite a big gaming community and, you know, they love their online gaming. So, you know, it's looking at opportunities that you can utilize to open it up on a global. However, saying that, it's also really important to find out what the local nuances are. And one size does not fit all, especially as I'm thinking of the role that I have for EMEA. We've got 26 different sites in EMEA, and every one of those sites is culturally very diverse. So we cannot be prescriptive in terms of what we, you know, run. It's not going to suit everyone. So something that would happen in Ireland might not suit someone who's in the UAE or Spain or Italy or the DAX or whatever. So we make suggestions to the site leaders, to site councils, of different events that they can run. And they make that call, which I think is really important, especially as it's an American company. You know, sometimes it can be very Americanized, which might not sit well with other regions. So I think we have to use our cultural sensitivity in terms of making sure it suits the employees at that certain site. Yes, there are global events that we can take part from a kind of corporate level, but when it comes to sites, I think you really have to understand the makeup of your site to make sure that you're not, you know, treading on any toes, that you're being understanding in terms of religious holidays, for example, you know, different time zones, and also in terms of inclusion groups as well. That's really important. Not all sites would have LGBTQIA plus events. Not all events would have Latinx, just because it's not in their makeup. So understanding your team is fundamental in ensuring buy-in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's there's obviously cultural nuances and country nuances, et cetera, et cetera. You touched on something I just want to come back to, about it not always being around alcohol. As an Irish person working in Ireland, it is something that I've just become more and more aware of in terms of it is the go-to, as you quite correctly said, in a lot of countries. Just an observation, I'm not sure what you think. A lot of companies currently, and have thankfully for the last number of years, been very concerned about their employees' mental well-being. And it always strikes me that that's at odds almost with the sort of alcohol at the center of every social event. I'm not sure what you think yourself.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm obviously, the accent is English, but I've been here for 20 years. So I can definitely see that events can't, they just can't be kind of focused on alcohol. As you said, for many reasons, like mental health is huge. Thing. You just don't know what people are going through. Maybe they grew up with an alcoholic household, or they might actually be an alcoholic themselves and they're going through AA in those situations, and not a situation that they want to be putting themselves in, but they also want to engage with their team. So you have to be really sensitive to all of these issues. But yeah, mental health is a huge thing. That obviously the pandemic really highlighted, you know, loneliness is one of the biggest killers out there. And, you know, in comparison to even drinking and smoking cigarettes. So those kind of statistics always blow my mind when I hear about that. So, you know, during lockdown, as I'm sure a lot of other companies would have done, is we provided a lot of support around mental health. You know, you've got families who are obviously broken apart, couldn't see each other. People weren't able to attend funerals. You know, so when people are grieving, you just don't have that kind of outlet. It was hard for everyone, but absolutely. Genesis were absolutely amazing. I have to say that they provided the support. Now, I started Genesis kind of January 2.5 years ago. So I was trying to homeschool trying to onboard with a new job. And they actually kind of understood that parents were being super stretched, and they provided, you know, workshops around how to juggle it all. And they absolutely 100% understood that you could not be online all the time. And they gave allowances for that, and kudos for them, because people have stuck around, you know, during the Great Resignation. So many people obviously didn't want to leave during that very turbulent, uncertain time. But Genesis is able to hang on to all of our staff because they provided that support, and they understood, you know, that mental health was huge, stress was huge, uncertainty was just banging on the door all the time. So, and it's not just during lockdown, like mental health is a huge thing that is always rolled into a lot of our programs. We're constantly doing workshops throughout the year. So, yeah, and I think that will be here to stay because, again, people are still working remotely, which is brilliant, but it still does affect people's mental health. And that's one of the reasons why it does help to come into the office now and again. You know, you can't be, again, prescriptive with that, but that connectivity is so important. And I think it's only until the world opened up again that we actually realized how important that is.
Getting buy-in on your people strategy can often be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Irish Life Health, we help HR leaders to unlock insights and make data-driven HR decisions. Join over 2,500 HR leaders who partner with us to help their employees live a healthier life. Search Irish Life Health to find out more. Irish Life Health Act is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Tara, sorry, just going back, you obviously we were talking about how frequently you survey people around employee engagement. What sort of questions are you asking? Do you mind me asking? Is it fairly open, or do you need to make it a little bit more focused in terms of what you're trying to design next?
Yeah, so most of the questions are very standardized. There would be the same questions that we would generally roll out every year. So they would be marked out of a certain criteria. And then we would have an open-ended question that we would then evaluate as well, and then go through that and kind of look at different threads and themes and kind of categorize those. So the kind of questions that we want to ask is around, you know, do they feel that they can be their true self at work? Do they feel that they have support? Are they able to grow in their role? Do they see career progression? Do they get support from managers? Also terms of communication, clarity around that from, you know, the leadership team. I would imagine they're the same questions that a lot of companies would ask their staff. So we would ask those internally, but also we have a huge amount of our regions and sites who also take part in the Great Place to Work. So we in Ireland started that 2 years ago, and we started out in the medium-sized business, and we actually came in at number 7, which was absolutely fabulous as our first time out. And then this year we entered into the large size because we had ramped up quite a bit since the first time we entered, and we actually came in the top 20, which is phenomenal. And again, they're the same kind of questions as well. It kind of drills more down to DE&I, which we actually won an award for this year, the prize giving ceremony that they had. And it is important, you know, it's good for branding. It's good, I think, for future candidates and for current employees to see that we are recognised as a great place to work. And this is done in North America, the UK, Ireland, India, Japan, Manila, Australia, Japan. There are probably others that I'm missing out as well. Oh, and Canada. So, you know, it's nice to see that recognition from the staff as well. And I think that gives them pride of place as well.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk to you now in a second about retention and attracting employees. So that's interesting to hear. When you're compiling the results after you've surveyed everyone, you're trying to get a feel for what people want. How do you decide what you guys can do yourselves in-house, or when you might partner with another organization to deliver other types of support programs?
I suppose we're very lucky in the respect that we have a lot of amazing talent and departments in-house. So we would, as you say, look at the kind of quantitative data, and that's quite easy to analyze. The qualitative obviously takes a lot more time. You know, there are thousands of lines of feedback that we need to go through. So we would highlight for each site the top five, which is brilliant. So obviously we know we're in a good place there, but we'd also highlight the top three and what we can actually do with that data and how we can improve on it. So I would present data to the different sites in EMEA, for example, and work with the site leads and the site management to try and create a plan. And that has to come from the site again, because as I was alluding to earlier, I'm not on the ground there. I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand the culture. So it's really important that we get that firsthand feedback from those people who are. And then we can make a plan. We have an amazing wellness team who provide webinars and opportunities for our staff to partake in throughout the year. So we partner with them if we see that there is a gap. And quite interesting is to see in the last 1.5 years, not just us, but from a global perspective, people, employees are really looking for help in terms of managing finance. So, you know, we partnered with Irish Life and we had talks from their finance team around, you know, how to budget, how to get a plan together to put a deposit down for a house. You know, if you've got children, how are you going to manage them going to college? So it's interesting to see over the years what the employees actually see that's important, and finance is actually really coming up there. So it is important to look at that data, and because for many reasons the themes shift and change, the importance from employees change, and otherwise we wouldn't know that just by talking to random people. But by having this amazing subset of data, we can see that this is a common demand across the globe, and we can make provision for that.
And how does this feed into your attraction and retention, Tara?
Many ways, really. Like going back to the great place to work, you know, we have really good results from that. So that definitely helps. Obviously, those kind of results are listed in like the Irish mainstream newspaper, so people can see that. We get involved with, you know, local charity events, so they can see that we're involved giving back, sponsoring. So in Ireland, we sponsor Connacht Rugby. We sponsor the men's and the women's team. So, you know, that branding is really strong. Also, we are very prominent in terms of STEM and women in tech. We get involved a lot with young girls and young boys as well, but young girls especially, to try and stop that kind of gap from when they're really interested to then suddenly they kind of stop doing it. So, you know, that's really important for employees to take part in that kind of stuff. You know, we're heavily involved in Coda Dojo. We have a lot of our team who have opened up new chapters and also work in the dojos and kind of help with training. So it's kind of finding opportunities for the staff to kind of give back and pass on their knowledge as well. Neurodiversity is another huge area as well. Giving that kind of sense of calm for people who might be on the spectrum and think, you know, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And I was in that position myself. I'm quite happy to say that I'm a dyslexic person, and you know, I found my absolute happy place with this job, and it's encouraged. You know, I think a lot of people are on the spectrum in one degree or another, but it's embraced and it's encouraged. You know, some of the best coders are on the spectrum, you know, and as a result, our attrition rates are really low. You know, we regularly look into that, and we regularly do exit interviews as well and act on those exit interviews too, which again, feeds back to the point I was saying before. You actually have to act on the data that you're given. People take the time to give you that, and you just have to act on it. There's no point doing it otherwise.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was actually commented to someone recently on this podcast that it's almost worse to do the surveys and then not act on it than to not do the survey at all.
Definitely.
Tara, when you are interviewing people, or when Genesis are interviewing people, do you find the same things come up in terms of what we've just discussed there, the various different employee engagement bits, your EVP? Does that come up, or does it manifest itself in questions that interviewees ask at interview stage?
Definitely. And it's really interesting. You know, when I started off my career journey, that's the questions that employees or future employees are asking would never have come to mind. But you know, it's really important to them, so they actually really want to know what we do. What do we do from a sustainability point of view? What do we do in terms of DE&I? What do we do in terms of volunteering? So time and time again, actually, I hear from our talent acquisition team, you know, feedback around, you know, questions that are being asked. And it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant because we can feed into that as well, you know. And I think it's really useful to be able to provide all of these updates to our TEA team to, you know, and job postings to add all of these different things in Glassdoor, to add all of these different events that we're involved in, you know, all of these great place to work badges that we have, and also in LinkedIn. It's really important. And, you know, it still is a competitive market out there, especially in Ireland, you know, the space that we're in, which is AI and R&D. You know, we really have to show that we are a great destination company to work for. And we do give back, you know, in terms of gender balance as well. That's obviously really important for us as well. And it's something that we're always looking to grow and improve on. We're really good, I have to say. It's a very good balance across the whole company. DE&I is a massive one, I think, as well, especially people who are in the LGBTQIA plus community, you know, that they can feel their true self at work. And that's come back time and time again in the great place to work. But I love it. I love the honesty that people have. They really want to know what the culture is. And interestingly, you know, people will actually be prepared to take a pay cut for a company that actually provides them all of these opportunities. You know, that's just from research that I've read. And actually I've done that myself. You know, I have in past roles taken actually a pay cut for a culture that I actually could see that kind of really tied in with my values. And again, values are really important to people. You know, are they honest? Are they transparent? Do they back the right things? Do they have the correct voice? Do they speak up about different things that are happening around the world? And that's a massive swing, I think, since I've started to work. And it's great that they have the confidence to actually speak up and ask these things, and hand on heart, believe it. So I think we're doing pretty well in that space, I have to say.
Yeah, no, people are certainly spending more time researching companies and looking at, as you know, their social footprint for sure. Tara, thank you so much for your time today. Some really insightful pieces there. Thanks a lot.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.